Hello everyone, welcome to Locked On Suns, part of Locked On Podcast Network. Today, as always, your host, Evan Sider, and joined by co-host Brendan Clean. You can follow me on Twitter at eSider. You can follow Brendan on Twitter at BrendanClean14. Also, make sure to follow Locked On Suns Twitter page if you aren't already at Locked On PHX Suns. Your support of there is very much appreciated. Joining you guys live, as we always do for the game recaps from Salt Lake City Resort Arena. The Suns once again fell. It's a fourth straight loss now. They're 9-30 in the season. 104-87 was the final score, and it really wasn't that close, even though actually, that seems like it was a wrong score. So, what was the final score of that game?
104-87.
104-87.
Oh, no. Wait, what in the world?
Yeah, we got the wrong box score. Apologies, guys.
It says two different numbers.
Yeah, 132-127 was the final score. I knew it was closer than that, but 5-point game, and it really was almost like a 30-point loss, how it really showed, anyways. Just thinking about that, Brennan. 5-point loss, and they're down by 30 at one point.
Yeah.
Valued comeback effort, and it was mostly with DeAndre and Devin Booker off the floor. It was Troy Daniels, and I guess we'll hit on him in a few minutes, but any main takeaways you wanted to talk about as far as today's game? I know it was really a blowout loss that was kind of covered up by that late run.
Yeah, I think it's become a pattern to start the game, although Igor Kokoschkov said pregame, like, they actually started pretty well against Golden State, so it was a little bit different last game, but for the most part, that's been one of the biggest weaknesses of this team all year, is just not having that energy to start games. I mean, and I think a lot of it does fall on, you mentioned they weren't on the court during the run, but to have all of your best players in your starting lineup and to not be able to start games well is obviously a pretty big problem. But, you know, I think early in the year, and especially last season, a lot of these same guys were around, and 15-20-point deficit in the first half would have become a 50-point loss. Yeah. And so it's small victories, but the fact that that's not happening this year, I think, is something to note.
Yeah, small progress being made, but obviously there's a long ways to go. Like Igor told us in the media availability, they haven't practiced in about 10 days now. They're going to have a really long practice tomorrow, so expect at least some tweaks as far as rotations and stuff go. But let's start with our first free throw. We're going to hit on one each, then our flagrant foul, and then our stat to watch, because there really wasn't much outside of a few guys from tonight's blowout loss that was kind of covered up with this comeback. Our first guy is going to be Devin Booker here, who had 37 points, 8 assists. Just another strong outing for Booker, 35 minutes as well. But the main thing here is 15 of 17 from the free throw line. We didn't talk to Booker in the media availability there, but it seemed like when Embiid, he also had 20-plus free throws at 19 free throw attempts. Booker kind of knew, like, with all these fouls going around, he could get his and really get to the line and act like a James Harden kind of tonight.
Yeah, the refs were ready to take center stage tonight. Yeah. They were heavily involved.
90 fouls in 48 minutes.
90 fouls in, pretty insane. And I think Booker had, he had 10 in the first quarter. So yeah. He was taking advantage. I mean, we should also mention Jimmy Butler and Wilson Chandler were out. Joel Embiid was a game time decision, but obviously that didn't affect him much. But having those two guys out of their starting lineup threw things off a little bit. I think normally Butler would have been defending Booker and things would have looked a lot different. But the fact that Furkan Korkmaz was trying his best and failing to defend Booker, he was able to draw fouls, get into the post, and play a little differently than he normally does, but it was pretty effective. And the Suns were only down 12 at the end of the first quarter. It was really that second quarter where things kind of blew open.
Yeah, it was just a rough go around as far as 44 points on the first quarter for the Suns defense. In the second quarter, they got outscored by 11 points there. But with Booker, I wanted to ask you more of a long-term question here, because we've been talking constantly about playing Book and the positives and negatives with that, but we touched on it just off the air before we went on here about the possibility of a lineup change. Do you think Igor, after their fourth straight loss, now 9-30 on the season, think he goes away from D'Anthony Melton and puts point Book in there as the point guard, and you go Oubre or Jackson alongside him now? Because it seems like either of those guys might make more sense alongside Booker than Melton, because he's been really struggling lately.
Yeah, certainly right now it seems like the best option. I think, you know, there's still, it feels like so much has changed, at least for me, that it's kind of crazy to think they're not even halfway through the year yet. So yeah. I mean, there is a lot of developmental time left. I think right now, to get the most out of the rotation, it does seem like that could make some sense. But at the end of the day, we are kind of already seeing that. So, you know, starting lineup versus just maybe Melton playing even less than he is now. But you definitely see, you know, especially against some of the more difficult point guard matchups, which they'll have another one in on Friday with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, just a unique matchup. Melton's not really quite the best. We've talked about it before. He's more of a team defender.
Yeah.
Gets steals, can switch. But stopping those bigger, quicker guys one-on-one is still a real struggle for him. And obviously, if you put another wing on the court in place of him, it certainly helps the defense. And, you know, offensively there might be some tweaks, but that might be one of the things we see when they do get back to practice tomorrow.
It will be interesting to follow on that note, but let me toss it back to you, Brendan, because you actually talked one-on-one with Troy Daniels, who is our second free throw today, and he actually was the surprise guy that led the comeback today. And Igor actually mentioned his press conference that he is quote-unquote embarrassed whenever he can't get Troy Daniels minutes, because he's one of the best shooters in the NBA. We both know that, but yeah. I think when the coach says that, it's really surprising. It might foreshadow a rotation change where Troy Daniels actually starts getting minutes.
Yeah, he said, you know, Daniels is somebody who handles him. He talks a lot about with the rotation and consistencies even before, you know, there's guys who were starting and aren't even playing now, and so much juggling happening. Players like Bender, Daniels, I guess, are two examples from the past two games who had to come in and just deliver. And Daniels is a pro in that regard completely, and I think that's made itself clear today. Plus 24, I think, is the biggest number for him. I mean, he was only 2 of 6 from three, scored 6 points, but
his defense, though.
Defense was pretty good. He had 3 steals. I think he's become pretty underrated, I feel like. Just, he's not an all-star. He's not a starter, but the fact that he can dribble the ball, make good decisions, compete on defense, he's more of a veteran than I think he's given credit for, because he's never really clicked with any team and actually played a lot. Feels like he hasn't really made it in the league, but he has. I mean, he's been around. So I think that was definitely a help today. But plus 24, that's pretty incredible in 15 minutes. It wasn't some fluke 2-minute stretch. Like, he really did help the team, and he played most of the end of the second half.
Really quickly, I wanted to ask you, this is also another thing we touched on off the air, but is Troy Daniels quickly becoming the Suns' best trade asset at the deadline?
Yeah, he is. I mean, before we go any further, though, as Evan said, I mentioned some of this to Daniels, asked him a little bit about how he stays ready, and here's what he had to say.
Coach talked a little bit about how he sometimes feels bad that he's not able to get you into the game, but tonight you obviously got on the court. So how do you, I mean, you've been in this situation all year now, but how do you stay ready for situations like this when they need you to come on there and do what you do?
It's hard. It's hard. I mean, your mindset has to be right going into the game. It has to be genuine. You have to want to win with the team. I think that's what I did tonight, is just, you know, kept my mind in the game, trying to cheer my teammates on. And like I was telling those guys on the bench in the game, pride set in for us.
Yeah.
It comes a point where, you know, man on man, like, we have to, you know, play basketball and get the X's and O's and go out there and not get beat by 30.
Yeah.
So I think that's what we try to do tonight. And we gotta have a better start. So I think we will. We just got to learn how to play in those games.
Physically, is it tough? I mean, Coach also talked about you guys haven't been able to practice. And
right.
Just getting your body in that rhythm, yeah, when you're not on the court consistently. I mean, is it physically tough?
At the end of the day, man, I can't make excuses for us. We have to be better out there. We have to have better starts, and obviously practice will help. But at the end of the day, we've been playing basketball our whole lives.
Yeah.
We have to go out there and do it. We're professionals. We have to go out there and play hard. You can't teach, you know, energy, and that's something that we didn't have tonight. So
yeah, chemistry seems like it's building, and you guys are able to have more cohesiveness with guys not coming in and out as much as that. I mean, do you guys feel that way, or?
Yeah. I mean, Kelly came in as soon as he got here and just gelled with us, and you know, it's part of the NBA. You know, you're gonna have guys come in and out, and you never know. And I think it's on us as well as the coaches, just getting everybody ready to play. And I think we're playing together very well.
Yeah.
Even more so than the beginning of the year. So I think we just have to give effort in these types of games and be ready to play, because they played last night.
Yeah.
You know, we were out there playing like we played last night. So
yeah.
You have to learn how to give energy in certain spurts of the game. And I think we will.
But I think he certainly is. I don't see a team that couldn't be made better. I mean, what is he going to cost? Like a second round pick?
Or future second at most.
Some young player that a team doesn't want anymore, that's probably not much of an asset. I mean, if the Suns could get anything for him, I certainly think that they should, because there's not much in the way of veterans left on this team to do that with, and they don't really probably want to get rid of Jamal Crawford. But I think in a way, too, they kind of owe it to Daniels. Like, he's wasted 2 years of his prime sitting on the bench for a bad team, and he's a guy who really could help a good team.
Yeah, that's for sure. And before we go any further, I want to tell you guys really quickly about our Locked On NBA Twitter account. If you're not already doing so, like Brennan and I are, go follow at Locked On NBA Net. It's one more valuable resource as far as NBA Twitter goes. You get news from not only me and Brennan on the Phoenix Suns side, but everyone else. We have all 29 other teams covered in the NBA. So if you're not already, go make sure you're following at Locked On NBA Net. Yeah, and as far as, let's go over, Brendan, to our second segment here, which is our flagrant fouls. You guys know the drill by now. And for me, the flagrant foul is, I don't want to blame the refs in this, but I mean, my number is going to be 34 free throw attempts for the 76ers. Total, like we mentioned, 90 overall, which is just an insane number. Actually, it was 54, excuse me. I'm looking at the wrong box score again, but 54 free throw attempts in 48 minutes.
Yeah.
Literally almost every possession down, that means you're getting a free throw attempt. That's unreal, and it kind of showed, like we were talking about at the beginning of the podcast there, the refs were kind of deciding this game, and Embiid and guys like Embiid, Booker, and Simmons really took control and advantage of that.
Yeah, and I think it really did take control of the game, especially when I think both sides became aware of it and were playing for fouls, and the game just kind of grind to a halt, and then the Suns started hacking Ben Simmons, and just a really weird, slow game, and kind of antithetical to what the Suns want to do. They want to push the pace. They want to compete on defense, and when you're going ISO and trying to draw a foul, it really takes you out of rhythm. I think the Sixers are more comfortable adapting and adjusting to that, and the Suns were kind of on the wrong end of it. But we saw in the third and fourth quarters, the fouls were less consistent, and Embiid wasn't as comfortable as he was in the first half, and that's when the Suns made their run. But it's a crazy number, really kind of like a fluke night for that many free throws
that's for sure
to happen. But to move on to mine, I think it's 20. And it's kind of lending my hand to what my flagrant foul will be. But did you just do a stat to watch or a flagrant foul?
Flagrant foul.
And it was just...
Just the number overall, okay. 34.
You threw me off with the number. Well, then I'll do my flagrant foul now then. It's the same thing. It's TJ Warren. And it's just a really rough night. Igor talked pregame about how much of a responsibility it was that you kind of have to throw around your defensive system a little bit when Ben Simmons goes against you because he's such a nightmare. And Warren, I think, handled it from what I remember. I mean, I didn't go back and rewatch the Sixers game from the last time around, but Simmons definitely did not do as well that night as he did tonight. And I think in part because Warren's size and strength were a pretty good match for him. And I think that was really the only way the Suns were going to have a chance. Obviously, Embiid did quite a bit of damage, but Simmons dictated pace of this game throughout, creating fast break opportunities, changing up the kind of rhythm, and the Suns were not able to adapt to that. And that was a lot of it because TJ Warren had five fouls, three in the first quarter, then another quick one in the fourth, and then another one right away in the third, just could not stay on the floor. So five fouls for him on a night when they needed his scoring, they needed his defense. You know, he's the second best player on this team. You just can't have nights like that where you're wasting basically a whole game. It's similar to when he got ejected. I mean, for all intents and purposes, he didn't really play in this one, and you can't win as the Suns when your second best player and your most veteran player can't stay on the court.
Yeah, and I also just noticed that Mikhail didn't really have a good night either, 2 points, and TJ, when you have two of your starters produce only 9 total points for you, it's really rough as far as that goes. But let's go over to our stat to watch here. I know I kind of threw off my free throw number there, but for me, My stat to watch is actually 47.4%, which is the opposing 3-point percentage for the Philadelphia 76ers. A trend now that I'm really starting to notice outside the first quarter barrages that the Suns keep allowing is the opposing 3-point percentage. I think for like 4 or 5 games in that road trip they had, they were like 20, 30, 35% at most, like 3-point percentage allowed. But ever since they got back into Talk Service Arena, like that's the floodgates have opened.
Yeah, well, I mean, and I think some of it is they're playing a lot better.
Really
teams.
Good teams, yeah.
And that's tough. But, you know, it's not as simple as just saying, you know, oh, it's Steph Curry. Oh, it's, you know, I mean, against Denver, they don't even have their greatest shooters in the lineup right now. Gary Harris is out. A couple other guys are out. And guys like Malik Beasley. And I think that's the more concerning thing from my perspective is, you know, Demetrius Jackson, they were leaving him wide open. He made 2 threes tonight. He had an alley-oop that could have been a three, but he cut to the rim. And Furkan Korkmaz had that step back three at the end of the game that just completely iced it. So you can't let that stuff happen, especially against teams where you do have somewhat of a chance to win. But my stat to watch is I won't do 20 because I already talked about TJ, but it's 42. It's a pretty simple one. The amount of points Joel Embiid had, a monster in the first half. 30, he had 30 and 14 at the half. And
that's just unreal.
The Sixers were in the driver's seat at that point. I think, you know, we should probably also mention they kind of let their foot off the gas there. I think
it was more about them coasting the Suns actually coming back in this game.
I mean, credit to the Suns, but I think obviously Embiid probably could have had 50, 60 points if he did it again in the second half, because he was basically getting whatever he wanted DeAndre Ayton had a pretty rough night against him. Rashawn Holmes is definitely not equipped, does not have the strength or the just physicality to compete against Embiid, and kind of embarrassing that the Suns let that happen. That was one of those where it's just like you kind of want to look away. But
I don't know about you, but this game kind of reminded me last year, if it was actually a close game throughout, that Embiid would have fouled out every single person on this team, like Anthony Davis did last year in New Orleans, where it was a close game throughout, but he fouled out, I think, three or four guys, and he was on pace to do the exact same thing tonight, where just a dominant big man, they have no chance.
No, and I mean, that's a lot of it comes back to Ayton. I think that's why his development is so key, because there's just not a lot of people in the world that can defend guys like Joel Embiid. So the fact that DeAndre Ayton has the potential to get to that point, I think, you know, says a lot about what he brings to the table, but also tonight showed kind of how far he has to go to actually get there.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to follow, guys. 9-30 is their record now. The final score tonight was 132-127 after a value comeback effort by the Phoenix Suns. But we'll be back with you guys tomorrow for our latest episode. Appreciate you guys listening in, as always.